Okay, you're very welcome along to the final hour of the 9 till noon show for this week, which means we chill out a little bit in the company of Michael Leddy. Good morning to you, Michael. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
And his right-hand woman, Michaela Clark, no, Fanula Rabbit.
She wishes.
I called her Fanula earlier on, and she said to me, she wishes.
Oh, well, I love it, because she's at least 30 years younger than me, if not more, so I'm feeling good about myself today.
And coming up a little later on as well, Jason Quigley will be joining us to preview the big night of boxing in Dublin on Saturday night, which is what I'll be watching. But what have you been watching this week, Fanula? Steel Town Murders?
Yes, this just started, and I actually came across it by accident on Monday evening. You know, sometimes when you're kind of sitting around, you're trying to figure out what's on, and Sky Atlantic used to always be a great place for the Monday evening big drama that they did, but they haven't brought out one in a long time. So I came across this on BBC. I didn't know anything about it. Sat down to watch it, and I actually really enjoyed it. It's getting kind of mixed reviews from what I see, because I tried to look it up afterwards to see what's going on. But basically, it is another one of these kind of crime based on a true story where it ends up. But I think Michael in particular would like it, because it has very much the feel of the Martin Clunes one. That's sort of a feel about it. You have this the detective played by Philip Glenster, whose name is one that people mightn't really know. But if you see him, you 100% know him. He's like one of these stable British things. He was in that show, which of course now I can't think of the name of it again.
Life on Mars?
Yes.
Life on
100%.
Mars.
He was in Life on Mars. He was kind of the crusty sort of detective in that as well. And you just recognise him. He's a real solid actor. In this, he plays a detective, and it kind of flashes back and forth to a crime that happened 30 years ago when he would have been, I suppose, like a rookie, for lack of a better phrase, in this new department that they had. And now 30 years later, they have reopened it as a cold case, and they're having a look at it. And he and a colleague who was there back in the day, and new colleagues have come on board, and they're looking at this case. As always with these cases, or what seems to be always with these cases, it's the murderers of some young women within this small Welsh mining area. And so basically that's what it's about.
And it looks well shot. It looks gritty and well produced.
Yeah, it does. No, it really looks very good. It kind of flashes back and forth in time. So in the beginning, it kind of takes you a minute just to make sure that you're 100% who's the young...
They need to spoon feed me that stuff.
Yeah, you need to kind of take a second just to make sure. Yeah, no, that's definitely him younger, and that's him younger, and you know, kind of working it out in your head. This case is apparently, because obviously, what should I do then but Google it? There is a lot of stuff.
Don't ruin this for me. Actually, this is one I might watch.
Just saying is there's a lot of twists and turns.
You're very good. You know, I know he was terrible for spoilers in the past, but anyway,
no,
it changed him.
No,
you were at the beginning, Michael.
No, it wasn't.
But
it actually wasn't like that.
Well, there you go. You do what I'm trying to say.
I feel like this is
odd. This is a four-parter, and judging by what I've read about the case around it, I think it absolutely could fill more than a four-parter, because there's a lot of different stuff that happens, ups and downs throughout the case. And it actually was, which again, like a lot of these things that we don't realise in the background, was actually quite groundbreaking.
Yeah.
And had kind of...
It was the cold case that made the headlines.
It sort of created
it? Yeah.
New law and different things like that. So it's very... I'm really looking forward to it. There's some really solid acting in it. The story is good. It's shot really well. It has that kind of... goes from sort of a 70s to a now feel, that sort of a look about it. And I really enjoyed it.
It's officially on my list. And it is one episode in, is it?
It's just one episode in. So I found actually even just people, because I know I'm always saying I don't have the BBC player, which is my bane in life. Mm. But the Sky have actually gotten a bit better, as in just showing the one. You won't be able to watch the four of them in a row. Mm. But if you have like Sky, so I'm sure if you have... the Virgin or whatever, the different ones that are out there.
You can
probably
still do Record Link too if you have a Skybox, can't you?
That, but it's sometimes they don't go back, but they've gotten a little bit better for some of the BBC shows that they'll show just the one that just happened, because it's the same with the RTE, you know.
Yes.
They'll show you the one that's current. They won't go back or forward or anything with
So the Steeltown Murders, one episode in. It's the setup episode, really, isn't it? In a four-parter. What are you giving it out of 10? Sounds like it's a...
I definitely think it's a grower, as they say. So. I really Sounds enjoyed good. It. I'd give it a good 7.5, 8, and I'm looking forward to seeing where the story goes. As I said, I ruin all these things on myself by being able to Google. Not Google, but it just looks really interesting, the actual case itself. So I can only imagine what they'll do with it. Because
Steeltown Murders, who did it?
Yeah, exactly. Googling how did it end?
Don't Google it.
Have they made a remake of Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid? But it's on the list here.
Because it's on TV tonight.
It's like early 70s.
73, very good, very impressed.
Right.
I have never seen this movie. It's on tonight on TG Car. It's their Friday night Western. So I think rather than just focusing on streaming all the time, we thought we'd look at some terrestrial TV. And I had been reading up about this movie a couple of weeks ago. I watched another James Coburn movie about a month ago. Big fan of James Coburn. Went down a rabbit hole. Liked that guy a lot, had never seen this movie. And it's an interesting movie to read up on because before we talk about the plot, behind the scenes was a lot of controversy. So there's three versions of this movie. And from what I gather from the runtime, tonight on TG Car, they're showing the acclaimed version, not the original theatrical version, which was slammed at the time and was the only version in existence for about 25 to 30 years.
It's a re-edit though, isn't it?
The director and the studio fell out. Because of what was happening in the movie was behind schedule
Did
and over
people
budget.
Fall out in the '70s.
Oh,
I thought everyone
Peckinpah. He did. He did that a lot with his studios. He did that on another movie I'm going to watch soon, The Osterman Weekend, which also he had to recut. So this version, the special edition, has only been in existence since 2005. It's a longer version, but it's one of those things that the movie is reevaluated in more recent years, and a movie that critics slated, they're now saying, oh, actually, this might be his best film. So what is Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid? It's a true story. Chris Christopherson, James Coburn, it focuses on a very specific incident where Pat Garrett is hired as a lawman by some wealthy land barons to bring in his old friend, Billy the Kid.
Simple.
Very straightforward. And it sets that story up in the first couple of scenes. Like, there's no messing about here. And they meet. I like these sort of films where the rivals meet for like a friendly drink. You know, Pat shows up, they talk. He says, yeah, I've been hired. And I'm going to be coming for you. And he leaves. Because like, he's just telling them, get out of the country. Leave. Get down to Mexico, whatever. Being a Peckinpah movie, it's got a lot of violence in slow motion and a lot of blood. So you go in knowing his work and expecting that, because I knew his work from other things like The Wild Bunch and so forth, and another one, the name of which escapes me. So I thoroughly enjoyed this the other night. I watched it knowing that it was coming up on Friday night. I think it's either going to be a movie that people have never seen and they should watch it if they sound interested by all of that, but it's also a movie that maybe you've seen maybe growing up, but maybe you don't realise there's another version that's perceived by everybody as a much better version. It reorganizes the scenes and it fills in a lot of stuff that Peckinpah wanted in, but the studio were just so annoyed with him that they were like, they kicked him off the project and they did a re-edit. 9 o'clock tonight, TG Car. Yes, it's violent, but if you like Coburn, Chris Christopherson is very good. Bob Dylan acts in it. And Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Okay. What are you giving it out of 10?
Is from this movie.
Oh, is it really?
It's from this movie. And when they use it, I was very emotional. Like, I caught up. I was like, and it's quite, I would give it a handy, I was like, oh my God, it works so well.
Yeah.
He does the score for the music as well. And I'm not a Bob Dylan fan.
All right, no, okay.
I would give it a...
I just meant you're such a wuss.
I know, I totally am.
You get emotional. Hey,
oh, if I tell you what happened when I was watching a Rockford Files movie the other night, I fell apart.
There's no shame in that. Stay where you are. I'll come back for your marks out of 10 because big time boxing is back in Ireland. It's going to be a huge night, not just for boxing fans, but I think casual fans will be dragged into this as well. Pro boxer, Ladbrokes assassin Jason Quigley joins us. Jason, thanks so much for joining us this morning. How are you keeping?
The very best, Greg. The very best in yourself.
I am doing good. And before we get into Saturday night, you're in the middle of training camp for your huge fight. I mean, talk about. I know you had a sort of a filler fight, but you're going from one big fight into another, in against Edgar Belanga on June 24th. 20 wins, 16 KOs. He's a big fighter, a big hitter. You don't do things lightly, do you?
No, I think, you know, once you're in the boxing game, nothing comes too easy or nothing comes too handy. So it's an exciting challenge. It's a great opportunity for me to really catapult myself back into that elite position again. And I'm excited for this one for sure, Greg.
Yeah, and it's in Madison Square Garden too, the mecca of boxing. It doesn't get much better than that. You'll have a huge Irish contingent cheering you on. And as you say, when you do the business, this really throws your name up there with all of the top guys in the division.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I'm getting one of the biggest stages on one of the biggest platforms to show the world how good I am, to show myself how good I am, and to put myself right back up where I belong again. And, you know, going in there now on June 24th, getting a great victory, coming out with the hands raised is going to really put me up in the mix with the elite in the sport again.
Yeah, okay. And how's the training going? Because obviously, congratulations, by the way, on your recent marriage. But, you know, you're full into the training side of things now. You're training here at home. How's that going, and when do you travel out to the States?
Everything's going brilliant so far, Greg. You know, it was I couldn't really have planned things any better with the last fight. You know, we had a good 10, 12-week training camp leading into that fight. Obviously, we had a few opponents fell through leading up to the fight, but we still got a good solid 10 rounds under your belt, and you need that fight fitness after being out for so long after the Andrade fight. And then I had my wedding then 2 or 3 weeks then. I was still training, but you know, I had about 5 days off then in total over the weekend, and a few days off with my new wife. So it was great, and we were just straight back into training camp again. I didn't think I'd be spending my honeymoon in training camp, but here I am, and I'm going to make it all worthwhile. You know, me and Andy have been drilling combinations, drilling game plans in over the last couple of weeks now, and it's really time now to start ramping it up and sparring, putting everything that we're practicing into play and taking that into fight night.
Yeah, and a brief question with a brief answer, not getting into the ins and outs or anything, but is Andy Lee going to be able to be in your corner for the fight?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we've had visa issues the last couple of times, but Andy has been approved of his visa.
That's a big deal for you, isn't it, to actually have him in the corner standing on this? Because he's a legend. I think he's the best analysis. He's obviously a superb trainer. But for you to be able to compete the job with him in your corner, that's a game changer almost, potentially.
Without a doubt. Everything that you said, Greg, is a plus, having that man in the corner. But you know, having the man that's training you, going through game plans, knowing you inside out over the last couple of years now, and him not being there in the corner with you on fight night, it is definitely a disadvantage. Whereas this time around, I have that full advantage, and, you know, we'll be going in there a fully equipped team this time around and ready to do the job.
Brilliant. I'm delighted about that. Right, Saturday night, it doesn't come much bigger than this. Katie Taylor could have handpicked pretty much any opponent and filled that arena out. In fact, you probably could have filled Croke Park out against a walkover. And I mean that with no disrespect, because anyone who gets in the ring is not a walkover, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Instead, she's probably picked the most difficult fight that potentially is out there. Someone who's bigger than her, someone who's you know, naturally heavier than her, who is a unified champion themselves. We're talking about Chantel Cameron here, who's a come-forward boxer that won't give her an inch. I mean, who's younger? Some people think Katie's on the downward. We'll see on Saturday night. I mean, this is a huge task. I mean, you must have, we all admire Katie, but to take this fight at this time is unbelievable, isn't it?
I think this just really shows the true champion that Katie is. And, you know, a lot of people, a lot of fighters out there say, you know, I really appreciate my fans and I really love where I come from and all that here, but it's easy to say that, but Katie's proven that now with her actions. Like, she's putting on one of the biggest fights ever, not only in female boxing, but in boxing in general, you know, male as well. Two undisputed champions. They hold all the belts in both of their divisions, and the two of them is going to be putting them on the line. And usually, like, Katie is the A side, but she's the one that's moving up in weight. She's not making Chantel come down into Katie's weight division.
She never asked. Never asked for a catch weight or for her to come down to Katie's weight. Unbelievable.
Exactly. You know, this shows the type of warrior that Katie is. You know, she has no thoughts whatsoever on like what people's going to be thinking, this, that, or whatever. She's there to put on the best show for the fans and to make it the best homecoming that she possibly can. And that's exactly what she's doing. And yes, exactly as you says, Greg, you know, she did not pick an easy fight coming back here. This is going to be a very, very difficult fight. I do believe that Katie's going to win this fight on points. You know, Katie isn't a big puncher. She doesn't stop a lot of people. So her moving up in weight, I definitely can see that, you know, moving up and being the smaller opponent and against the bigger fighter. I definitely can't see a stoppage on Katie's behalf in this fight. But I believe that Katie's going to be very in control early on in the fight. Her skills are way above Chantel's. But this is professional boxing, and sometimes in professional boxing, skills aren't always the one that pays the bills.
So how does she win it? Does she, you know, on her bike on the outside, quick combinations in and out, frustrate her opponent, and hopefully the training, obviously she's put the training in, that the legs hold out and she doesn't sort of get, I don't know, you know, tracked down in the later rounds. Is that how you see the pathway to Katie's success?
Yeah, look, I was at the press conference yesterday at Dublin Castle, and Chantel's coach, Jamie Moore, says at the press conference, like, we would be mad to go in there and think that we're going to be able to outbox Katie Taylor, you know, with her skills. And yes, there could be some mind games being thrown in here as well, but, you know, I think it's black and white that Katie is the much superior boxer in terms of skills to Chantel. But Chantel is a really tough operator. She's strong. She's dogged. She's hungry. This is her idol that she's fighting. Do you know, this has been like when I was talking to one of Chantel's teams, and they were saying that whenever this fight was announced, she was kind of, and they first did the face off, she's like, she kind of thought to herself, oh my God, that's Katie. You know, like, but now she has switched that mindset to be like, excuse my language, you know, I don't give a shit here, you know, who this is across the ring. I got to get in there and take care of business. And I was very happy to hear that, because that's the type of mindset that she's going to have whenever she gets in here now. But going to your question, Greg, about how does Katie win this fight, she does have to be up on her toes. She does have to be using her skills, using her jab, not letting Chantel get inside, because that's going to be Chantel's game plan. If Chantel leaves it too late to really push the pace and push the pressure on Katie, then I believe it's going to be a comfortable decision one for Katie. But if Chantel can get inside, tire Katie down early on in the fight and make it a dogfight, then I believe that it's going to be a very close fight.
Yeah, and my concern is Katie has a little bit of you in it, in that, you know, you might say you're going to box a certain way, right? And you tell your coach you're going to box a certain way, and then someone sort of stands in front of you and you decide to stand in front of them and trade. Yeah, I think both of you can be a bit guilty of that at times, Jason.
Of course, definitely. You know, it's. I think it must be a trait
it's
in us
Irish
that,
yeah,
you know,
so,
somebody gives us a challenge and we go all in. Like,
I'm having that. Yeah, I know.
I think Katie, you know, and this is another one as well. I believe, you know, we have seen Katie in the past now in the last couple of fights, and a few people are thinking that she's sliding a little bit. And yes, she might be, but that's natural because of the age of Katie, because of the fights, because of the wear on the tires that she has, you know, through the years. I believe that she might be on the slide a little bit, but being in the three arena, with all the Irish fans there, this is her homecoming. I believe that you're going to see maybe one of the best performances from Katie Taylor now on Saturday night.
That's it. And I won't keep you very much longer. Another great women's fight, Terry Harper versus a legend of women's boxing, Cecilia Backhouse. She's been around for absolutely ever. It's a great fight for Terry Harper too, against a legend, and can elevate herself. But it has the potential to be a real barnstormer as well.
Yeah, and, you know, this is one thing that I wanted to say coming on here as well. Like, the undercard on this show as well is top class.
Can't wait to see Gary Cully. I mean, there's something about him. I'm already a huge fan of his, and I think he's just...
Yeah.
I'm interested to see if he changes his ring name, you know, his nickname, because he got a bit of abuse, I think, the last time out, and Eddie Hearn said, right, we're going to have to come up with a new nickname for you. So I'm fascinated to see what they do there. But go on anyway, Jason.
Sometimes this abuse can work out in your favor too. You know, you need to kind of play the villain as well sometimes and stand out a little bit. Sometimes not always for the right reasons, but, you know, the First Lady, as they're calling Cecilia Burghouse, you know, and Terry Harper. You know, these are two great people that are in this sport for good things. And it's great, you know, boxing has got a lot of slack over the years. And, you know, it's always been the bad guys or the bad women or, you know, it's always been, you know, they're rough and tough. And but we're starting to see a lot of good, genuine people being successful in boxing now. You know, Cecilia spoke yesterday at the press conference as well and says that she really fought hard because professional boxing was banned in Norway. And only recently enough that they got that ban lifted and she had a 10,000-seater sellout there herself, you know. So it's great to see good people doing good in boxing. But, you know, we go to the undercard, like, and you have my stable mate there, trained by Andy Lee as well, Paddy Donovan, who I think is going to be a massive, massive star. He's definitely going to be one to watch out for. He's going to be on the early broadcasting on DAZN. So tune in early, anybody that's going to be tuning in on the DAZN before the bell. It's going to be around 5:30. I'm actually going to be commentating on that for Paddy's fight, which is going to
be... Nice
one. I'm not going to be biased at all on that one.
Of course, yeah. Call it as you say. But,
yeah, but Paddy's going to be on that. And he's got a good fight in Samuel Mason, who is an English fighter. Came in a little bit of late notice, but has fought the likes of Dalton Smith as well, one of Matchroom's biggest prospects. So this is going to be a great time for Paddy to come on and show his skills. And then, you know, you see yourself, you have Gary Culley, who's really standing out at the minute with a lot of knockouts in his last couple of fights. He is, you know, one of those guys that does stick out in the way that he talks, the way that he looks. And, you know, he's doing that in the ring as well. And you also have Thomas Carty as well, yeah. You know, a big heavyweight Irish lad that is ready to put on a show. And you've got Kevin Aguero, you know, another Irish lad from Belfast, wants to become the first black Irish world champion. You know, so this is great for these young fighters to be getting this type of a platform here in Ireland. And it's only right that they get it because Irish boxing has been starved. And, sure. You know, I'm so happy for the fans. You
it's
know,
great
just
to see
the genuine, Greg, the genuine Irish fans that have followed the sport for so long, that can just jump in the car and drive up to the Three Arena if they've got their tickets, or just go to the public workout. Even myself, driving to the public workout and driving to the press con, going to the weigh-in now in about another hour's time. So just driving to there, like to these big shows, it's great to have it back in Ireland again.
Listen, brilliant. Can't wait for it. I've already got planning permission for the early card, the full card, the whole lot. Saturday night is sorted.
Mayday.
We'll listen to you commenting on Paddy's fight as well, and it's going to be a great night. And it is ultimately a great to see big time boxing back in Ireland. And who's to say that this actually does not do a lot of the groundwork maybe for a huge fight here for you, Jason, if all goes to plan. Thanks so much for joining us. It's been lovely chatting to you.
Top class.
All right,
great.
Bye-bye. Take care, Jason. All right, Jason Quigley there. I've indulged myself. I have to listen to yous talking about Marvel and superheroes and universes. And for once, I get to talk about something I like.
Oh, I like a bit of housing.
I could tell. I've never seen you so awake. It was just
get out of town, would you? Come here, shall I take a break and then we can get straight back into things? Is that all right? What are you giving, Pat?
Eight. I loved
good.
It.
Yeah, okay, loved lovely. It. And it looks good. It's gritty, as I say.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know this film, obviously. You mentioned you must have seen it on TV.
No, I was Googling it while you were speaking.
Oh, I thought you would have seen it grown up.
No, it was born about seven. It was made about 7 years before I was born.
But it'd be on TV over, you know.
And it's That's Entertainment in the company of Michael and Fanula. And just to remind you that coming up after 12, it's Around the Northwest with John Bresson. John's broadcasting live from My Motors in Drumkeen. The team will be talking to John about their open weekend launching today. They have got their stock secured and ready to go for July delivery with over 232 cars to view. I don't think that's correct. I think it's 232 cars to view. Or maybe I'm right. Maybe it's a great marketing ploy. I don't know. Anyway, they've got lots of 232 cars to view. Tune into the show where you'll get accurate information, not like from me. For more information on this, along with entertainment news, music, and plenty of giveaways. And have a great weekend. I think they're doing pizzas and stuff next tomorrow, if the ads are anything to go by. Right, okay. So, still on Apple.
I have been really looking forward to this. And because I am a massive Michael J. Fox fan.
Mm-hmm.
Loved him. Posters on my wall.
Is that going back to the future days?
Oh, everything he ever touched back in those days.
Yeah.
Oh. Had him up on the wall, the whole thing. In Family Ties. Mm. Loved it. He was...
Teen Wolf.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Secret of My Success.
I mean, saw that in the cinema,
Doc
yeah.
Hollywood. Even the bad ones were great. but he was one of these guys that, a lot of people may not even know a lot about him, because to be honest, he hasn't really been in a lot of stuff now for the last 20 years or so.
Good Wife is about it. The Good Wife.
Yeah, he's done a few kind of like little cameo pieces in it.
Yeah, did he not have a more significant role in Designated Survivor? No, or was that cameo-ish?
I didn't watch this, so
right,
I can only speak
to that. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
But most of the stuff he's done is cameo-ish. So, Michael J. Fox is the star of Back to the Future. He started off in television. He's a Canadian. Did a lot of different stuff. Did, as I said, played Alex P. Keaton in Family Ties. Why don't they reshow that? I'd love to watch that again. If anybody knows where you can find that online. So, he was in Family Ties. And then...
he's got a website for that.
Oh, I know. So then he did Back to the Future, and he went into movies, and there was a period there where he was in absolutely everything, and he was like an unlikely kind of a movie star / TV star. He's only, as he says himself, he's only about 5 foot nothing. You know, when he first started off, it was that because he was 17, 18 and he could play like a 9, 10, 11 year old. He was so kind of small and puny and that kind of in shape and stature. And he ended up being one of the biggest movie stars in America for a period of time. And he was the highest paid in so many things. He had like number one movies back to back. Everything he touched seemed to be golden. And then when he was in his, I think it was like mid 30s or so, he woke up one morning to find that his little finger was just shaking, and he was unable to stop it, and it wasn't a control of himself. Yeah. And years later, he realized that they found out that he actually had early onset Parkinson's disease. He kept it quiet for years, working on TV. And now he, as I said, he does cameo roles, but he does amazing stuff for the Parkinson Society and fundraising, and they fundraised millions and millions in order to put into research for Parkinson's. And he just really is a fantastic man, a role model for a lot of things. And he's very open about the mistakes he's made in his life as well, when he kind of went off the rails at different times. So it's just really interesting. He wrote a book, which this is kind of loosely based on, I think, having read the book years ago. And now they've come up with this documentary. The documentary, I loved it. I absolutely adored it. I thought it made you want to go back and watch some of his stuff. But it also was interesting when he gets further into it. And he's very open about the way Parkinson's has impacted his body. While he's doing the documentary, he talks about how when he feels like he's reaching the end of his dosage and it's time for him to take another pill or whatever. And you can like physically see him kind of decreasing in himself, you know, because the lack of...
Whatever the chemical is. How is the story told then? So it is a documentary, but there's obviously a lot of footage.
You will not like this documentary.
Right.
Because the only bad thing about this documentary is that, and we're going to have to, the next time you have a documentarian on, you're going to have to ask them, what is it?
They don't have a mic.
Yeah.
So annoying. Mm. And this is done in a conversation. So why is he not mic'd?
Yeah, like, so it's not incidental questions.
It's specifically set that he asked
so
the question.
Yeah.
I was just so glad I was watching it, because on Apple TV, and I just showed you how technical I am, my Apple TV, when I go into it, it always gives me subtitles, and I'm not sure how to turn it off. I don't know how to turn it off. Again, if anybody knows how to do that, text. So this was very handy for me, because the bloody documentarian kept whispering his questions. Basically what it is the camera is set up like the camera is set up in front of you, just staring onto Michael J. Fox's face. The documentarian is the other end of the camera, shouting out different comments that's kind of moving the story forward. Then it's interspersed then with some press footage of him, also bits in the movie. People may remember then towards the end of his, the height of his kind of career, he came back to TV after when the movies kind of started going a little bit astray for him, he came back to TV and he was in a program called Spin City. I absolutely loved it. He kind of played like a spin doctor in a political office. I think it was like the mayoral office in New York or something like that. But it was really, I really enjoyed it, always did. They got some great guest stars coming in and out of it. But when I watched it, I had no idea that he was unwell. And they start showing you bits of it while he's talking about how he hid it. And it's amazing now
so
when you
insightful.
See it,
right.
How, you know, and lots of different things, little tricks of the trade that he did, how nobody knew when it released, you know, when it was, how it was like then for them to come out and announce it, you know, to have to let the public know and everything mm-hmm. that this was what he was going through. And it just, I really enjoyed the whole documentary.
It's about him? Or
yeah,
is
it's
this
him
an
with
awareness
his physio,
speech?
It's him with his speech.
But it's also awareness about Parkinson's then, is it?
Well,
do you think?
To be honest, it is just by the way it's told.
Okay.
It's not actually teaching
That's
you anything.
Focus. Okay,
it's
not,
no, but he does, because it's telling you more about him, you do see him, like his body moves very jerkily now,
yeah.
And particularly when he's walking, and he's always, if anybody who did watch or was a fan of Michael J. Fox, he was always in his movies and his things running. He's running down corridors.
Always
he's
active
running,
and
he's always
buzzy,
active.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden then he's reached, as he says himself, he finally reached a place in his head and in his age and in his maturity, you know what I mean, in his psyche, that he was ready to actually slow down.
Mm.
And then suddenly his body refuses to actually be still.
And so, what is the state of his condition? It's degenerative, but obviously he would have the access to the best of medicines.
He has it a lot. Now, I do not have any knowledge of this, but I remember at the time when it was announced that he had this, they were sort of saying 10 years and that by 10 years he would be incapacitated to such a degree. But he seems to be still out and about enjoying his life. It shows him with his now adult children. It shows him, as I said, he's, you know, he has like a permanent sort of a physio person. It shows him with his speech therapist. It shows him with the different therapies that he goes through,
yeah.
Talking to his consultant and that kind of thing about what it is. So it doesn't really focus on the Parkinson side of it like that.
I guess, yeah.
It more focuses, I think, on him as a person, what he was like, how he is like now, how he copes with how he is now. Yeah. I mean, some parts of it are just tragic, particularly for somebody like me who loved him
yeah.
and still does. I mean, he's a great man, but, you know, like had posters of him on the wall.
You feel what he has endured in his life more deeply because
yeah.
of your...
Well, at one point they ask him, is he in pain? And he's like... agonizing at all times,
and it's been described as astonishing.
It's very, he's
brilliant.
What's astonishing about it is how open he is and how willing he is to let you see the impact that this has had on him.
Okay,
like if you watch it, you'll just be stunned that anybody would let, you know, it was willing to open up their life in this way, and you'll be like me then giving out about this Guggenheim guy that actually made the documentary and go, seriously, I'm going to send him a mic. I have one upstairs. It was 35
right.
euros. He can use it.
It's so annoying. Kevin says, hi, Greg and Guardians of the TV. That's you too. I watched the Michael J. Fox Apple Plus documentary yeah. still in what will capture people's admiration is the way in which it was to use scenes from Michael J. Fox's work to portray his actual life, which you've been outlining. I mean, I don't know what I don't know what family ties had as it meant to be about the parents, but Michael J. Mm-hmm. Fox stood out straight away as Alex P. Keaton and his long-suffering sisters. One was Mallory, played by Justine Bateman, sister to Ozark star Jason Bateman. It was certainly a fascinating watch through his life and worth a second watch.
There's something just enjoyable, is probably the wrong word, when you're looking at, you know, when you're seeing somebody talking so openly about the struggles that they've had, but also his kind of, you know, his ethos now and his thinking and, you know, what he values and that kind of thing and the changes that have come about with that. He's just really, to me anyways, he just seems like a really admirable person. It was definitely worth the watch, but ruined by the
non-miking of the person who's asking the questions.
Yeah,
I mean, it would be like me pulling the mic down now. I have pulled the mic down now, so listeners know what I'm talking about. You know,
yeah.
I'm in the distance for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah,
okay,
it's a strange
marks
thing,
out of 10.
Oh, I absolutely loved it, and I think that people should watch it. It's an interesting, without being trying to teach you anything or without doing anything.
There's just awareness that's happening.
And it's just to look at people, you know, the struggles that some people have in their lives and how they manage to overcome it. I would definitely give it a 9 or a 10. I really, enjoyed it is the wrong
word. No, it is, because that's like, they put it together for you.
One minute you were near to, I nearly became
the
him.
Is
one
crying.
Minute I was near tears, the next minute you're laughing, then you're remembering where you were when certain things came, you know, where was I and what age I was when different movies came out and who you
it's
saw.
It's a journey for yourself,
so it
too,
just,
to some
it
extent.
Ends up being a whole, like, I just really enjoyed it. It is really, really well done. The
and sometimes,
well done.
Michael, the best awareness and education comes when we don't realise it's actually happening as well. So if it's not, it's intention, and it's to tell the story of one person.
Yep.
You reflect and remember and grow with your awareness as you go
and
through
you learn,
the journey.
Yeah, and there is a thing with somebody like Michael J. Fox where you do feel an emotional connection and therefore you feel empathy.
You grew up with them.
Yes. Yeah. And so you will feel for them, and it through that you can kind of walk a mile in their
shoes. Yeah, because he's one of those kind of people, or particularly people my age, that or in around my age, that you kind of feel like you know him because he's sort of been around so long. You know, he's one of those kind of celebrities that you're like, oh yeah, you know, you just
exactly.
Well, I would have been 12 when Family Ties started. It was on Monday nights on RTE2, if I remember correctly, and I was always watching his shows. Like, I was watching his movies, and he was in several seasons of The Good Wife as a baddie, and he's so good as a baddie,
so good as a baddie.
Okay. Well, listen, both of you, thank you very much for that. Great reviews so far. We've got 1 10 out of 10, or 9 or 10 out of 10. And we've also had great reviews from you. We're going to come back with a bit of news.
Yes.
Oh, showbiz correspondent, Michael, in just a couple of minutes. Stay right where you are and keep your texts coming in to us, 086 60 25000. Okay, the rumours are circulating. They are true. Donegal has another millionaire, because a €1 million lottery ticket was sold in Kelly's Centra and Kelly's Diner. Marcin Kelly's managing director of the shop just across the road from us here. He joins us on the programme now. Exciting times, Marcin. When did you get the news from the National Lottery that you had sold, you effectively made a millionaire in the shop?
Greg, good morning to you, and thank you very much for giving us a call. No, Greg, the great excitement. We got the phone call from the National Lottery late yesterday evening, 9:25 last night, to say that there was a winner. The winner was picked on Tuesday, so it was from the Daily Millions lotto draw that they do themselves internally. At this stage, we don't know who it is. I suppose, look at this great excitement. There is no rumours. We don't know who it is. It could be passing trade. It could be people from the West. It could be people locally. It could be tourists. It could be people walking in the place. I see you were in with yourself on Tuesday, so you could have won us. I don't know if that's maybe.
Well, I'll check my ticket. It could be me. I was in there on Tuesday. I did do a quick... I did not. I wish it was. I can tell you where I wouldn't be sitting, and that's right here, right now. I'd be giving Fionnuala Rabbit a two-fingered salute and running out the door.
And there you go.
So, come here. We don't know who's won. And as you say, you know, you've got a huge local clientele, but also a massive through traffic as well. It's just one of those premises and the road that it's on. So it could be someone living next door. It could be, as you say, someone from Burton Port. We just simply don't know.
It could. And we have a lot of people that play the lotto with us, and they do the National Lottery, and a lot of people buy the lotto cards as well. So, as you said, look, it could be anybody, but the excitement is palpable around this morning. We're expecting the National Lottery representatives to be with us at 12, and there's great celebrations to be had, and I know there's photographers, and I know even local press like yourself has contacted us, which is great. Great excitement, and if we know Anton, and we're okay to share it, I certainly will share it. But at this stage, we don't know who it is. Whoever it is, it's going to make a huge difference in their life. It's such a fantastic thing to happen to anybody.
Brilliant stuff. Exciting for the management and the staff as well. It gives a nice little buzz in what's already a buzzing facility. Great stuff, Marcin. Keep us updated and well done. Thanks so
all
very much indeed.
Take care, Greg.
Bye-bye, Marcin Kelly, Managing Director there of the Awesome's food store, Kelly's Centra and Kelly's Diner. What's that, Fionnuala?
Who hasn't shown up to work today?
There's a lot of people in the building. How many of them are working? I don't know. Katie is not here. Where's
suspicious.
Katie?
I know, very suspicious.
When did she book Friday off?
I'm not 100% sure. We'll have to check that one out.
Who else?
I've always liked Katie, by the way. We're very close. I'd say we're best mates. just in case she's listening.
Well, I said to her, if you know, if you won the lotto, what would you do about the begging letters? And she said, I'd keep sending them. I wouldn't let that put me off. Right, okay. What's the news,
the
my
news.
Friend?
Yes, a lot of news.
Showbiz news with
Showbiz
Michael.
News. Oh, I like that. Yeah, May every year is when the American networks bring down the chop on a lot of shows. So every day this week, American networks, the main networks, have been cancelling shows and renewing shows. So I'll start with two good renewals, because there's two brand new shows that stood out. First of all, I'm sure a lot of people remember the Matlock series of the 80s and 90s. A very standard murder mystery, Murder, She Wrote-esque type of show, Andy Griffith. That's been rebooted with Kathy Bates as the new Matlock. I think it's a complete reboot. It's not like she's his daughter or something like that.
No.
They're just starting off with the whole thing. So it's basically Matlock is returning, as so many shows have done in recent years. They brought MacGyver back. They brought Magnum PI back. They bring all these shows back. So Matlock will be arriving on American screens, assuming the writer's strike comes to an end. And then obviously we'll have it over here probably late this year or early next year. So if you're a Matlock fan or a Kathy Bates fan from Misery or from, was it Harry's Law she did?
Yeah.
From any of those shows, then you might be excited by the prospect of this.
It'll be out a bit earlier than that. I've seen trailers for it already.
She's a
retiree and she goes back to work as a solicitor.
Matlock was originally a fella.
Yes, that's right. Andy Griffith was him, yeah. And the idea was that he was a Southern lawyer whose down-home wisdom was better than all them city slickers, you know.
I think from what I've seen from the trailers, and that's why I say I think it's actually going to be in the autumn.
Yeah, well, if the writer's strike is solved, it'll be on CBS probably third week of September.
Yeah. What else is coming then?
The other show that really stands out, we've been talking about The Good Wife a lot. Mm-hmm. Good Wife had already had one spin-off, Good Fight. Good Wife, I love that show. One of the best written, smartest shows on TV in the last decade, 15 years. One of the best characters on it was a character called Elsbeth, played by Carrie Preston, who I can best describe, if you haven't seen the show, she's sort of like a Columbo-esque character who comes in, appears to be walking chaos. Everybody underestimates her, and she's always the smartest person in the room. She'd outwit everybody, and a brilliant character who also appeared in The Good Fight. After 10, 15 years of playing the character, you know, popping up maybe two or three episodes a season, Carrie Preston is now getting her own show as Elsbeth, starting again in America, September time. Very excited about that because she's an amazing performer and this is a fantastic character. This is another show in that franchise of three shows that could last for another 6 or 7 years. That's the good news out of the way. Some of the shows we've talked about on air, are you okay, Fionnuala? Three Pines, which Fionnuala has loved.
It's awesome.
Has been cancelled. Not because of ratings, but because they couldn't work a financial deal behind the scenes. Amazon and I think, I'm going to say Sony, but I could be wrong. Whoever the production, they couldn't work out a deal, so the show has been pulled. Same thing has happened with a long-running Resident, which has an actor from The Good Wife. There's a theme this morning. Mm. That's going off the air abruptly after six seasons. They weren't expecting to be pulled.
Is Three Pines, is there episodes is there a story that needs to be told?
Ends on a cliffhanger.
Remember we were talking about it. It's set in Canada and Alfred Molina is in it. I really, really enjoyed it. It was like, it's on.
You loved it. You loved it.
Not going to get any satisfaction then.
The novels will answer the questions because they're based on a series of novels. Yeah.
Let's go back to, that's why we thought it'd be going on forever. And actually we were saying that Alfred Molina, this could be his like Daniel Craig has done with his Knives Out. This could be his right up until he decides to chuck in the towel permanently.
Another cancellation, if anyone who's listening to the entertainment slot over the last few years knows that I've completely given my heart to Catherine Winnick. She captured my heart as a detective sheriff on Big Sky. Big Sky has been cancelled. So House Private this weekend, I'm going to be just taking it very easy. I don't want any phone calls. I'm just going to have quite
prayers.
Thoughts and prayers for Michael Eddy. So yeah, that show, Reba McEntire was in the third season. It's such a fun show, but the viewership was going down, so they pulled the plug. NCIS Los Angeles has reached the end of its 14th season life, so that's off the air. Avenue 5 with Hugh Laurie, that's gone as well quite quickly. Another show that Fionnuala loved, Alaska Daily.
I liked it.
You liked it, yeah. I misspoke.
I couldn't see it standing.
And
that one is the one that people are going to be.
Yeah, that's the last. Yeah, and the physical with Rose Byrne is coming to an end after one more season. That's one of my favorite shows. And the last thing I have on my list is the big one, because of all the behind the scenes problems they've had with the lead actor on the show, they've definitely conclusively announced that Yellowstone is finishing after 8 more episodes. And that is really shocking. Because there
what about
is,
the spin-offs then? They can continue, yeah.
Yes, but the problem, and people are saying, it's not just Kevin Costner and we love that character, but if we can the spin-offs take care of Beth and the family, like a Rip. Rip's one of the best characters, and you know, they're great characters. So the big question marks, but it's
did
very...
Did you watch that, Fionnuala?
I did. I watched the first series of the first one.
Were
I
you
did.
Dragged
I enjoyed
into it?
It?
Yeah, okay.
I liked it, but I have
gets
to
better
say,
in season
yeah,
two, yeah.
I
takes off.
I enjoyed it, but I just never really gave it the time.
Yeah.
And I needed to be on
especially
there
when there's
TV.
Multiple series, it feels like a big commitment.
It is a huge commitment.
Yeah, and it's difficult to. It's not streaming direct. You have to get Paramount,
yeah.
which is a bit awkward.
RTE player had
it. Missed it, you missed it.
And they pulled it. Yeah,
if you missed it, you missed it.
But it's a difficult one because Taylor Sheridan famously had planned seasons in advance. Like he was talking about season 5 when he was shooting the pilot.
Yeah.
So he had very specific plans. Now he only has 8 episodes to finish it, and it's going to be rough. And it's rare to see such a top. I mean, it could be the number one. You know, it's because of the franchise, number one show in the world.
It is possibly organically the one of the most commented programs from listeners on
yeah.
the site.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
that people
yeah.
you have to watch it. If you don't watch it, you know, Pat Garrett, Billy the Kid also features another big Bob Dylan hit, also popularized by Nathan Carter. Wagon Wheel.
Okay.
Wagon Wheel's in it.
I'm trying to remember what else. Yeah, but there's a few. There's several, like, Dylan. I don't recognise that,
it's
but okay.
Uncanny. It's uncanny.
No, there's several, like, Dylan did the soundtrack. So there's, like, and he sings. And he acts in it as well. Well, he acts. Acts is a strong
you're
word.
You're using that word very
I know. He stands there in front of the camera and he
hey.
Emotes.
I have to go. We have to go. All right.
That was fun.
Time great. Flies so blooming quick, doesn't it? Fionnuala, Michael, both
pleasure.
Of you, thank you for
pleasure.
It very much indeed.
Pleasure.
Looking forward to reconvening next Friday already. Just to remind you that John Bresson is coming up around the Northwest next. He's live on an OB at iMotors in Drumkeen. The team from iMotors will be chatting to John about their open weekend, which is launching today. They have their stock secured and ready to go for July delivery. You've got your 2-3 cars, 2-3-2 cars there available to view. So tune in to the show coming up after the news for more information on this, along with entertainment news, music, and, which I like the best, plenty of giveaways. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday at 9.